up on you.
How are we going to restore 15 to 20 million jobs? I am your future.
We have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting here on 860 AM. And as you know, we serve the entire southeastern Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and northern Delaware area. And of course, we ask that you go to your phone, go to text, whatever, and invite family and friends to tune in here at 860 AM on the radio if they live within our broadcast range, but they can also listen live right from the front of the page simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Also, you can hear rebroadcasts 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime link. Well, we have a lot of things to talk about today. And of course, our good people are always ready and available to assist you. And they include Mark Andel, who is a well-known founder of the Made in America store. Also, Larkin Conley, a national small business advocate. Rich Logis, principal of RJL Technology Integration. And of course, best wishes to you and yours from Curtis Ellis from the American First Project, and our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash, always pleased to hear from you, and of course, know that you're spreading the word. Well, as we gather on this first Wednesday of January, the 6th of January, Three Kings, for American Workers Radio, I'm sure that many of us are still celebrating our New Year's resolutions. Well, I did some resolutions, and they're mainly the resolutions that I use all the time. And one of those is something that all of us can do and really all of us can understand. Number one is enjoy your family and friends, because time and life moves very quickly. All you have to do is look in the mirror and you know how quickly time goes. As we say in Polish, jak szybko mijają chwile. The second resolution that I made is to promote the importance of jobs for my fellow Americans and the businesses that are keeping them employed. We've been going through absolute hell since the coronavirus came upon our shores, not only here in America, but people all over the world have been suffering. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that today. And of course, my resolution to support the Buy American Made campaign and jobs for people of all, nationalities, all races, all creeds is very important to me, because when a person has talents, they should be able to earn a living and support themselves. And that's really what America is all about. We salute one flag. We are people of all one blood. And as Americans, we have to love and respect each other. Now, our broadcast is also very important to a lot of our listeners, and I know that people tune in on the internet different times of the day, and over the weekends they listen to our Wednesday show. Thanks for doing that, because that's really a way we're getting our message out. And I'd like to take this opportunity as we begin the new year is say thank you to the many radio broadcasters throughout the USA, and more grow each week. In fact, we're having a new campaign to welcome additional broadcasters to promote our Saturday commentary during their broadcast. This week is an opportunity to talk about our resolutions and things like that, and we thank the over 20 broadcasters that are already doing that, and more are signing on that they will do our weekly commentary during their public service time, because we're not saying anything, but let's unite together as one big happy family. I myself have been promoting the Buy American Made campaign in the latter part of the Clinton administration back in 1998 and 99, when I saw what was happening with all these trade organizations and everybody running out of this country and leaving our people behind. I didn't like it. So during the latter part of the Clinton administration, through President Bush and through President Obama and the Trump administration, I was always promoting the Buy American Made campaign. And that's what I'm encouraging every future president to do in all of our lifetimes, because they have to look out for America first. Now, unfortunately, most of our past presidents did not acknowledge that America was losing jobs and job skills and jobs to foreign countries, and that a lot of poverty in America was growing during the last 35, 40 years. Leadership has to come from the top. We elect people, we send them to Washington, which is supposed to be the seat of all ideas coming down to the state governments. Most of the presidents did not seek to change the fate of jobs and businesses here in the United States. My compliments to President Trump, who was the first president in recent years to place America first and even make a commitment by saying it constantly. I cannot find in any reports, YouTubes, whatever, C-SPAN back for 10, 20, 15 more, maybe years ago, nobody, no president was pushing that and encouraging to put businesses to come back to America. No president said, no, we don't want these international trade programs, these agreements and all, unless they benefit America. And why would we want to send our jobs overseas and then import the stuff back to the United States? It simply never made sense to me. So those are a few thoughts that I think that we can discuss today. There's a lot of things going on, but those are a few that we have to make a resolution to do, and that is support Americans first. Americans are our brothers and sisters, our neighbors, our families. We have to support one another. That's the most important thing that we can do. Dr. Larkin Connolly, tell us everything.
Reverend Blehosh, how are you, my friend?
As wild as always.
I understand that. Hey, listen, before I answer your question, I wanted to have a pop quiz,
okay.
If I could.
Absolutely.
So I think we all should get something out of this. Now, when I asked this question, Mark and Rich and Michael, you can only chime in with an answer, not a comment, but an answer. I got to have an answer. All right? Here's the question. Get your buzzers ready. Okay. Name one country, just one, that taxes their people and sends that money to America. So I'm waiting.
Oh, my God.
Do I have an answer? I'm waiting.
Oh, my God, Larkin. I love that question.
One country that taxes their people and sends that money to America. Anybody? Anybody?
Mark, you better answer that question.
Touching on Canada, but no.
Nope. I'm sorry, Canada.
A little protection, I guess. That's all.
There is no answer. So, oh, boy. You want to know what's wrong with America? That's one of the main things. We are sending trillions of dollars to other countries that are our enemies, that don't see the world the way we see it. And Michael, I'm going to jump on you a little bit here, that Michael spent a couple days this week trying to find out who proposed that. Where did it come from? Who said, let's send Afghanistan $500 billion. Who said that?
That's what I want to know. I really want to know that. And where is the proposal? Where is the proposal to get that money? And
where is the vote?
That just angers me as much, Larkin. This question is wonderful. And I don't find information on the internet that lists how America's presidents during the last 35 or 40 years worked for the businesses in this country to keep them here, to stop them from relocating to foreign countries. There's no record of it. It was always, it's the international economy and all. This is crap. Yeah. We live in the United States. I want to know which country. I urge someone to call in right away because I can't answer the question. Mark, can you answer the question? Which country taxes their people and sends the money to America?
I cannot.
I can't believe it. Mark Larkin, that is the best. That's the question of the century.
We don't have money that travels in that direction. All of our money follows from the citizens' pocket to Washington, D.C., and then Washington, D.C. decides that maybe we'll send Ukraine, maybe we'll send Ukraine a couple billion dollars.
Well, you know, Larkin, quite frankly, I do not at this point, now that this all came up, I think that it really should be the voters of America to put this on a referendum in both of the elections, in the primary and in the general, that this could be a special question. And the list of the people are requesting it, putting in a real proposal for the money should be put up. They should lobby for the money to the American people, not lobby to just the 535 people in Washington, but to us. We are the taxpayers. You know, in the last few years, we saw businesses taxes and regulations cut to attract businesses to come back to the United States to be part of bringing jobs here, to bring more stability to our country. No, none of those foreign countries are saying, oh, let's do something for America. The answer is nothing. Zero.
Now, I'd take a gift basket, maybe a good bottle of Australian wine, although I don't think we send Australia any money. But a good jug of Italian red. I don't know. Something that we can enjoy, but we got nothing. Here's your answer to what went on yesterday. What we saw yesterday and what we're ultimately going to see, unless Purdue pulls it out, and it's not looking that way right now, what we have is total government control by the Democrats. And here's what total government control means. It means that there's no more debate in Washington, D.C. on any subject. Any subject.
Well, Larkin, I will say this as a response to that. The American people went out and voted. Yesterday was another election in the state of Georgia. The people had the opportunity to go out and vote for either side. The people, whatever is the end result, we have to accept it.
There's no question.
There's a major rally in Washington today to support support President Trump. Now, many of the people are not there only to support President Trump. They are there to promote the fact that we have to review the way the election is done in the United States so that no one can ever say, no one can ever say that the election was stolen, bought, somebody was sold out. That's the bottom line. Do you agree with that, Mark?
Absolutely. Yeah, we want trust. We want to be able to trust
our
government.
It's they don't want this to happen again in the future. In fact, as I said for many, many months before the election, I don't like the mail-in system unless someone is unable to leave their home through a disability. They should be asked to reserve that time to go out and vote. I never would do something to do a balloting at home. I received in the mail, and I mentioned this on air, two ballots to send in two ballots. I never requested the ballots, but then I received three requests for to get a paper ballot sent to me in the house. I don't understand how, when I called, they said, oh, it was a misrun or something on the computer. And they sent it to everybody instead of not sending it to just the people who requested it. I said, I didn't request it. I go live. The woman said, well, don't worry. It's not going to be anything against you or anybody else when they go to vote. You'll not be listed as receiving a ballot, and maybe it's in the mail.
You received two, though, Mike.
I received two of them and three requests for an application for a ballot. I don't understand it.
So I wanted to go back, if I could, real quickly to these three points I want to make. These three points are points that most people, when they say what's going to happen under total Democratic control, these are the ones that they miss. They come up with all the other universal health care and all the other stuff that they think is going to automatically happen. But these are three that I think they miss. No more debate of any issue anywhere in Washington, D.C. Democrats write. The Democrats write it. It goes through their caucus. It comes back to the floor. It gets voted on. It's passed the Senate. Goes through their caucus meeting, comes back, is voted on, sent to the president, and it's signed, and the Republicans might as well just stand there and hold their dice or their jewels or a good cold glass of iced tea, because they're not going to need two hands for 2 years in Washington, D.C. Also, Biden gets a bye. Joe Biden gets a complete bye. There is nowhere in Washington, D.C. with any muster that can take Joe Biden to task. At this point, it becomes a journalistic question and not a political a question. There's nobody in either house, or certainly in the White House, that's going to say, let's have a special counsel and investigate Joe Biden in
Ukraine
and China.
I'm going to ask you a question. I want those issues resolved, the Ukraine and China, and I believe that the press is going to be asking those questions, and if they don't, then people like us should. But my question is, Larkin, when was the last time the entire country was under the control of the Republicans, or the entire country under the control of the Democrats?
It happens almost every presidency, and in almost every presidency, they lose that because of the way they acted during that time. That's why you can only really look at it in two-year terms.
You said something about 4 months ago, Larkin, which I remember very well. You said, at this point, the American Workers Need You movement is going to be more important than ever. Do you remember that statement?
Yep.
Well,
yep.
I heard from many people that listened to you, and they said, you know, Larkin is right. This is now our time. Larkin, we have so many percentage of people that are registered Democrats, so many percentage are registered Republicans. But the largest number of people registered in this country are independents now. That means the independents went out and voted in the November election. That means the independents also went out yesterday and gave their votes to whoever they wanted to be their representative. Now, I believe that what happened in the last 5 months in this United States of America was really very difficult to watch. When Mr. McConnell ignored the fact, the Republican, Mr. McConnell ignored the fact that people were hurting very badly. You know, I work in human services, so I see a little more than most people. Many people lost their jobs, not because of poor management, not because their resume wasn't, up to the job. It's because a pandemic came into this country. And instead of the leaders in the House and the Senate agreeing on whatever the amount was, $2,000, to help people that lost their jobs, waitresses and waiters that lost their tips. There's a lot of money that's been taken out of the system. And these people in Washington did nothing to speak up for the American people. I would have liked them to be battling, how are they going to bring jobs back? I would have liked to seen them battling, how are we going to get more money into the people's pocket? Maybe we, the 535, should not be paid for one full year and put that into the pot to give to the people who lost their jobs.
You're going to hold Congress accountable?
Absolutely. Rich Lowe just
said one thing, Rich, that you can build on.
Martin, please,
and that is, please. This is not a political change that we have just gone through. This is a cultural change in this country. It has nothing to do with politics.
But I wanted to say, Larkin and Mark and Rich and every person listening, for 40 years, presidents of the United States, and not only presidents, all the members of the House and the Senate, sold America out by signing agreements that benefited foreign countries more than they benefited the well-being of the American people. And that's a fact. All those World Trade Organization and NAFTA and CAFTA and all, who benefited most? Why is poverty rising in this great country of ours? Has anybody addressed poverty in the United States of America in the last 40 years? No. Who was that person who addressed it? And by the way, poverty in the world has dropped, but poverty in America has gone up. And if that means American workers are being hurt very badly, very badly, because you don't have a job to go to. So you are automatically going down, you know, in expenses and trying to live your life. That's why I was disappointed with the people in Washington. They discussed for five months after the first stimulus bill. Mitch McConnell, no, that's not the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to have open debate. Let's hear what all the senators have to say. If you have to have it on C-SPAN or whatever, every senator should stand up and speak up for the American people. I want to hear what each one of them had to say. Not, we're not going to agree to it. Ooh, ooh. This was very, very poor to watch the whole time. And being in human services and watching people want to go to a job. They were forced not to go to jobs. They were forced to be unable to go to a restaurant, to an office. Look at the teachers had to stay home. Parents had to stay home. They didn't discuss that in Washington. No, because we're going to add to the deficit. Well, how about all the foreign spending? That should all be cut. Mark, give us your point of view.
How you doing? Happy New Year's,
Happy Mike, New Year.
Larkin and Rich. What a crazy ride. I'm always, I got to stay positive. I got to lead the team. This Senate race last night, I talked to Clyde Strickland in Georgia and Don Buckner. You know, everybody was rooting, and I woke up, I turned the TV, go, ooh, going to be a little tougher. They're going to take a little more. You know, there's leaders, followers, doers, and users, and I got to work harder for the users now. It looks like, Mike, and you know, it's just, Rich says it best, you know, elections have consequences, and we got hit hard at General Welding with our companies at, military work and oil mining. And, it's going to be a harder road. I've been there before, but it's going to be a harder road. Larkin said it best. It's a cultural change. And, I want to bring up Made in America is probably more important than ever. People doing their part. People have to step up. Elect qualified officials. We've got to do your part by buying Made in America. Now is probably more important than it's ever been in this country to go out and do your part, voice your opinion, buy Made in America, put China down. Mike, it's the time. The movement's still here. There's seven countries that pulled out of China. They can't really stop that. The reshoring effort's on. They can't really stop that. So things are going to happen. Unfortunately, take a picture of your paycheck, the amount you collect and take home, and net is going down. There's no question. I told all my people, take a picture of your paycheck. Look at it in 6 months, 1 year. We're going to be paying more taxes. You know, we get tired of paying more and more as a business owner, and actually the new administration, I don't believe, is for business. And now with what happened in Georgia, businesses are going to have to work harder, unfortunately. The fallout from this China COVID-19 crisis hasn't even started. The supply chain breakdown, the supplies we can't get, the product we can't get. I'm having people left and right on my show, other show, Mike, and these owners, if it's a T-shirt company, there's no St. Paddy's Parade. You can't make green T-shirts for that. You didn't have no shows. You didn't supply school sports. Every leg, every CEO I have on has a story of a supply chain problem, loss of sales, and the fallout isn't even started, unfortunately, Mike. So tough, tough run. We get tough. We're Americans, but things haven't been swinging our way for business owners, I'll say that.
No, and in fact, Mark, as you mentioned each week during the pandemic, did you want your stores to have to close, and did the malls close?
Mandated closed.
It was mandated. That's what I'm saying. These people were mandated to stay home. People were not able to go into restaurants. They were not able to support our fellow American workers. Stores were closed. And yet these people in Washington barking at each other and giving nothing. I want to hear what these people have to discuss. I really want to hear what they're going to give us in the future. I'm going to turn again to Larkin Conley. Larkin, now you and I've been watching the situation. Mark's been watching it. Rich has been watching it. Curtis has been watching it. How many politicians can you point to right now and say that person went out of their way to support American jobs during the last 35 years?
Let me think. Okay, wait a second. Okay, well, no, give me a second. I'll come up with one. Wait a second. What party? No, I can't come up with anybody.
There's only one, and unfortunately, there was too much political, too much wrangling. I wish that what President Trump had done during the last few years was done by our presidents over the last 40 years. The fact that I cannot find any footage on YouTube or anywhere where a president is saying during the State of the Union, other than a lot of words, that said, oh, we're going to talk about more jobs and this and that the State of the Union speech is finished and it's over. Nothing is done. You know, in America, I've been seeing huge amounts of infrastructure being taken care of. Our roads and all, I've never seen anything like it. That's what we want to see. That's what we want debated. Not worrying about, look at the $17 trillion wasted on this war in Afghanistan and Iraq. Have the people in the United States received a real breakdown of what benefited to us? What is the benefit to you, Larkin? How did that war for the last 20 years benefit you?
In no way.
Well, that's right. That's $17 trillion. I'd like to see $17 trillion off the national debt. When you go on the debt clock, take $17 trillion off. They should pay us. They should pay us for advice. But that's what the United Nations is supposed to do. If there is some kind of a world crisis, everybody gets involved. Why is America pointed to all the time, let the American people pay the bill. Let the American people speak up. Let the American people send their troops. Sure, we'll send over a few hundred troops. How nice of us. We're in the big deal end of it. Oh, no, this has got to come to an end. I don't care who's the president, Biden, Schmiden, or Hayden. I don't care who it is. The people of this country have not spoken up properly for 40 years.
Absolutely. Mike, and we've got it harder in New York. You know, as a business, and it's just a tough, tough time, and people have to, they can't be lazy, they have to get involved. And more and more elections have consequences. We keep saying that again and again. But, you go back to the PPP. We didn't think March 13, 2020, when they really started shutting everything down, we didn't think it would last 2 weeks, let alone 44.
Right.
That's the big difference. They had a little plan for maybe 5-6 weeks, but you got to really be innovative, fast on your feet, and to deal with this pandemic that won't end.
That's right.
Larkin, I heard you say a few minutes ago how in Congress, no debate, push through whatever legislation you want as often as you want for at least the next 2 years.
That's correct.
Is that that's democracy? That's what Madison intended when they hung out down in Independence Hall?
No.
That's what Adams was talking about? If the framers had trusted the American people, Mark, to make future correct decisions, how come we're not just a simple majority democracy then?
That's correct.
Why aren't we? Mm-hmm. How come we're not? You see, I'm going to counter with something that I'm not going to get into this. What I will tell you from my time in automation, Mark, is that when I have taken companies from pen and paper to automation, we always did it because of a combination of reasons. Error, waste, and fraud. Okay? Combination of reasons. But having said all of that, the reasons for what has happened yesterday and in November are actually much more sinister, Mark, than fraud. If they were fraud, I would not be happy about it, but I would prefer the outcome that it be fraud than it be what I believe it actually is, which is that everything that the framers talked about, Michael, a mile from where you're sitting, down in Independence Hall in Philly, everything that they talked about wasn't some romanization of democracy as a Grecian pursuit of Jeffersonian erudition. What they talked about was a sounding of the alarm for future generations. That's what they actually talked about. But when you listen to the people in our party today, months ago, years ago, all you hear about is some masturbatory, mellifluous Shakespearean sonnet about the features and benefits of democracy that help manifest the finest traits of man. Do you believe that, Mark?
Well, that's what we're living. That's what we're living.
You don't really believe. Washington, D.C. is gone, Mark.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Rich, I'd like to know.
Hold on, Michael. Michael. That's the problem, like Larkin always says. Don't tell me the problem. What's the solution? Unfortunately, Mark, the solution is one that isn't such a great solution for you. Michael, Henry, you guys are about in the middle. Me and Larkin are best off. Not to say we're great off, but we're best off. Because the solution is found in the 10th Amendment. All that matters right now is state sovereignty. And the problem, Larkin, is that most people in our party have no idea what that actually even means, because they've spent decades reading some bullshit that George Will wrote in the 1980s. They don't even know what it means. The Democrats don't worry about the Constitution. They just worry, Mark, about outnumbering, overwhelming, and overtaking you, damn it. What is it going to take, Larkin, for people to understand it all? I think now is probably that time. And for everyone who says to me, well, Rich, if you make it harder, fewer people will vote. Larkin, when all is said and done, about 3 million Georgians stayed home last night. It'll have about a 55% turnout when all is said and done, maybe 60.
You're right.
If your dish in your restaurant were served to 60% capacity, you'd ask for the other 40, right?
That's right.
Fewer people voting. Half of the country already doesn't vote, Larkin.
I know that. And that's genuinely the problem. We've either made it too easy or of no consequence. And that's genuinely the problem. And you want to know too easy is receiving three mail-in ballots to one voter, as has happened to Michael. You know,
I can't believe that, Mike. That's,
two were sent to me and three applications.
Michael, the actual greatest flaw of democracy is that it is an equal outcomes exercise. It is a terrible model of governance. However, it is made less terrible, Mark, by participating in it. While our people focus on how many voted, I look at who didn't. Because who didn't, Larkin, is really where the story is told.
You're right. And, you know, Rich, I want to add to that. There's something that's happened in this country over the last 40 years, 30 years, whatever. It's getting really bad where the people just don't care about our country anymore.
Right.
You know, for 100 years, during the time of the Industrial Revolution, America was the leader for new jobs and new invented products. It was the king of kings. After World War I, when our American leaders in Washington tried to unite a lot of foreign countries, and in the process they wanted to help them to, they even welcomed American businesses to put a portion of their manufacturing other countries to make the global economy a big thing. However, in the process of the last 40 years, all those leaders, and many of them are still in the Congress, for the last 40 years plus, Americans lost tens of millions of jobs because those businesses moved overseas. And now I can't even find any record, any discussions where people who were getting prepared to vote for NAFTA, CAFTA, the World Trade Organization, really put their efforts into stopping this. Oh, all that's been suppressed. Oh, you'll have to search that on C-SPAN. It's always a story. I blame it all on greed. We tried to rebuild the world, and we killed America in the process. I blame it all on greed, poor management, poor leadership. America's businesses are left now, you know, selling things from foreign countries. Does that make any sense? What happened to the people and all the inventions that were made in this country for 100 years during the Industrial Revolution? What happened? Did all those people get smarter around the world? Yes, some of them did. Did we get stupider over these years? Maybe we did. In the new year, I'm urging everybody to focus on the good that happened in America in the past and look to make America better, America's economy, so it remains ready to get up and go. Our young people in America are watching poverty grow, unemployment be to the point where it is, watching the situation with the pandemic. It's not good. And there's no leadership. I don't hear any leadership coming from. And by the way, somebody said this morning on the way in, I was driving in, there was a huge traffic jam on Interstate I-95. Somebody said, well, this person is going to be in the Senate, but they're going to be a junior member of the Senate. And I thought, what? A junior member? When you go to the Senate, you're there to represent your people. You have as much of a right to speak up as every senator, whether those senators been in there for 15, 20, or 25 years. Some have been in longer than that, which I feel is too long. But
Michael, I'm 100% behind what you say in theory, but I don't hear a solution.
The solution is we have got to focus our dollars on American-made until we get those companies back. And we have a lot of companies, by the way, in the United States of America that could expand their operations, double and triple what they're making. But because the merchandisers from foreign countries bring all that stuff over here, the merchandisers in America, they don't want American stuff. They can make more money on those foreign products. Some of those products that cost a dollar to import right to the dock here in the USA, those little treats and all that you buy in the dollar store, you can get $10. That's $9 profit between the people who distribute it and the person who's selling it. Why would they want to pay an American worker when they can get big profit? That's the problem. And we have to change that thinking. American workers needs a commitment that we're going to employ people and we're not going to have that level of money coming into the corporations and that level of greed. Investors are going to have to settle for long-term commitments to the United States of America. Yes, Mark.
Well, absolutely. I just want to say one thing. I had Ameriti, it's a local company, does all our screen printing, owned by Steve Vykoviak, on yesterday on the show, on my other show, and we were talking about Made in America. He's always been a believer. He supplies unions and schools and always tries to put it on a 100% Made in America product. But he mentioned that you can't get an extra large hoodie anywhere that's not made in America, which is very interesting because all them shipping containers, you talked about it a lot, Mike, when they order 10 months, 12 months ahead of time, these shelves are empty at the Cabela's and everything because them shipping containers were shut off. What we've got going on now is huge, and you can't get an extra large hoodie in the United States of America that's not made in the United States of America. That's a good problem to have. So if we can keep this rolling, we're on to something.
That's right. That's exactly right. And that pandemic did hold up the shipments coming to America. And that's why all the stores were saying, oh, unfortunately, because of shipping. They didn't say the shipping of foreign products into the United States. It said because of shipping, there is a lower supply than normal. Well, that's what we want. We want a lower supply of foreign stuff and more of a supply of American made. I mean, let's get with it. This is an opportunity for all American companies to speak up and say, we want those tariffs maintained. We want the tax cuts maintained. We want to expand our operation in the USA and have all the Democrats, the Republicans, and the independents call those leaders in Washington. I don't care what party's in charge. Call them in Washington and tell them what's on their mind.
This has to be a national agenda, Mike. They have to rally every time they try to shut off anything that Trump had done. This administration is in full power. Now they're going to pull down the wall. They're going to turn China back on. China's an enemy. They're a threat. We have to stand up to them like we are, like Trump did. We have to continue this right now, though, and the people have to really wake up. And I think they are, but they've got to stand up and voice their opinion now.
You know, I went to a store.
And Mark, you're 100% right. That China spigot, every time Biden walks through the Rose Garden, he's going to take that China spigot and he's going to turn that handle.
Absolutely.
Another quarter
Larkin,
turn.
You know it.
Yeah, but you know, Larkin, I agree.
Quarter turn, and before you know it, we'll be right back to where we were.
Because you're selfish.
But you know what, Mark and Larkin and Rich and everyone tuned in, maybe it's time for us to shut our wallets to foreign made. Maybe this should be 2021. Make it a pandemic against foreign made. And if you don't, if I can't find it, I won't buy anything foreign these days. I just refuse to do it. Then you know what I find out? I didn't even need it in the first place.
Let's get healthy.
Hey, you know, I wanted to buy a thermometer the other day. There must have been five on the count. Available. Ones that you point, ones that you touch, ones that you stick in your mouth, and ones where you stick where the sun don't shine. All kinds of different thermometers. But how many? Tell me how many were made in America.
Well, this is the
problem. On that entire shelf of the largest pharmaceutical retailer in the country, probably in the world. How many were made in America?
Zero, Larkin. I can't find one to sell.
Zero.
You know, Larkin, we were talking about computers for a couple of days, and everything is made foreign. Now, how can that be? The computer, the gentleman who started the computer, Mr. Barron, was from Drexel University here in Philadelphia. There were a few others. They were all trying to work on it. But right now, they were doing all this in Texas, and Texas Instrument and all were involved in the computers and the cell phones. How come everything is made outside of the United States. I don't want to pick on any particular country. However, right now, whether you have a Mac, you have any other kind of computer, all of those brains for the computer are made in Foxconn, China. Everything is made there. But every time I ask someone at a computer place, where is it made? Well, it's coming, everything. How about a Mac? China. How about an LG? China. Everything is China, China, China. Dell, China. Could be India or China, but that's fine. But how about America? Why? Where is our competitive product? Is anybody stopping a company from opening a product here in America?
You keep on asking questions, Michael, and you keep on not giving answers.
Well, how about Texas Instruments?
If you were to suggest that an agency or a nonprofit on the side find out what kind of cooling it takes to manufacture a thermometer and what the component parts are and where they can be got, well, now you're coming up with an answer, and you find that list of companies and you write them a letter. This is made in America, and we want you to consider making a little bit of an investment and become the first company in America today that manufactures thermometers. That's an answer.
Okay.
I don't want to talk.
Larkin, I would like to, can you do us a favor on that thermometer? Can you find out where the thermometer was invented? Where was it first made? And distribute it. I'd like to know that. You know, sometimes people tell me, oh, I'm so frustrated, I'm tired of this. I say, well, whenever things look dark, turn on the lights.
We're going to help Larkin with that.
I'd like to see that. Why can't we have it? Why can't we have that?
We're going to get the first one. I'll do that work.
Here's the Larkin thermometer.
The Larkin, Larkin thermometer? I love it.
I want 10% of all sales until I pocket $500,000 and 5% for
the Larkin. I want you to have not.
Larkin's been watching.
I want millions for you.
Right.
Remember, foreign made is everywhere we go. And in many cases, it's much, much, much larger than anything American made that we can find. Who did that to us? You know, as I said many times, the American people were told that foreign items were cheaper and would save all of us money. That's a nice statement. It sounds good, like, ooh, I'll buy it, I'll save a few bucks. But what they never said, it would take away tens of millions of the jobs for American workers. Then no one ever told you that. Oh, it's cheaper from this place or that place. But did it say that they took away our jobs? Our people are on poverty. Our people are on food stamps. Our people are in welfare lines. Did they say that? No. But other countries, as I said earlier, poverty is going down. And everybody's coming out to a job. And in America, our jobs were lost to foreign countries. I didn't hear anybody in Washington saying, well, we in the next, in the last 10 years, we killed ourselves to bring those jobs back to America. In the last 10 years, I would say very few did anything to do something to bring those jobs back to the United States of America. You know, through this broadcast, guys and girls and everybody who's listening, we've been able to bring people together. And it was great because everything was going good in this country until the pandemic hit. And then the pandemic was also one of these things that the press tried to dance around. You know, they didn't want to anger China because China owns a lot of businesses that the press gets their advertising from. Oh, this is a thing. You know, like I talk on different programs. I'm interviewed here and there. They say, well, Michael, try to not mention the country. We know who it is. You know, we know where that virus came from, but don't want to upset the advertisers. Well, in this program, I can be a little more open. Together, Look at what's happened to this country. We can't go to restaurants. We can't go to festivals. We can't go to sports events. It's all as a result of this virus. And if the people were told in October or November, when the when it was first known that it was going to hit, everybody should have been told to wear a mask, be social distance. They should have been told right away, be concerned. If your roof has got one leak today, you may have a bigger leak tomorrow or a bigger one next month. So you better take care of it. But there was nobody talking about it. They wanted to hide the fact because it was a few foreign countries that really have a lot of big money invested in the United States of America.
And Michael, what I'm going to tell you is that from Fauci to Smauchy, nobody knew what to do.
Well, if you look at the old, if you look at the old information about Fauci, in the very beginning in February, he said, oh, there's no reason to be concerned. Everything is going to be good. Masks are ridiculous. Blah, blah, blah.
He was saying what was pertinent to the knowledge that he had at that minute. And then somebody else came up with something. I mean, it threw example of the fact that we really were misguided. And I think a guy like Donald Trump, who's a little bit more poignant in what he does, said, listen, you guys are saying masks, no masks, stay home, don't stay home, don't send the kids to school, no, send the kids to school. There's absolutely no, you know, I keep on saying, my Democratic friends keep on saying to me, you've got to listen to the scientists. Well, I'll listen to the scientists when they deliver me a decent, consistent message. It just keeps on changing. I can't keep up with it all. And then we blame that on Trump. When did anybody say anything about Nancy Pelosi roaming around without a mask on and getting her hair did out in San Francisco and all the rest of that? Yeah, it was news for a hot second, and it went away. So we're just talking about how we got to where we are. We just need to start talking about how we're going to change that. By the way, Amy Kramer of America First, Curtis's boss, was just speaking at the Save America March.
Well,
which was interesting.
We will talk about that, but I want those people not only to be concerned about Donald Trump, I want those people at that rally to be concerned about elections in America, and I want those people to start saying we want to hear more of what these elected representatives are doing for the United States of America. We live in America, not in foreign countries, and we don't have to worry about foreign shipments coming over here. We should have enough stuff all the time in inventory, ready to go, proudly made by people from the United States of America. Everyone, thank you for your participation. God love you. You know we're trying to do our best. 2021 is going to be a good year, as Larkin Conley said about 3 months ago. This is our opportunity to speak up. And don't be afraid to call your national or local officials and let them know how you feel. They are the people being paid to do a job. Let's make sure they do it. God bless you. Have a wonderful week until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11. My very best to you and yours. Thanks to everybody.